Hey, if you're hearing that music, you know that this is an edition of Spiritual Perspectives. Spiritual Perspectives, looking at real life from, well, a spiritual perspective. I'm Scout Bartlett. I'll be your host this morning for Spiritual Perspectives. And always, we want you to join in and listen with us. We have a guest this morning that I'm very excited about. This is an individual that while studying in Hampshire College, studying perennial religion, sort of doing an overview, ran into the concept of Christian Science healing, and in that concept very quickly experienced a shared healing with a woman that he was working with there. So even though he was enamored with the nice academic exploration and thinking about it, the book part, he found that he was really driven most to practice spirituality in a tangible way. Lots of you can relate. He wanted to experience God, and he wanted to see that showing up literally as outcomes, or in this case, healings. So he even did a documentary about miracles, studying the concept of miracles, and looking into that. Also driven forward by music, he's ended up being very prolific. Once he found the Church of Christian Science, he became very prolific to where he's introduced, launched, and produced a number of various parts of that, including even pioneering online Sunday school teachings through the church. So everybody, I am really happy to introduce you. Coming from 3 hours later, on the other side of the world, well, not the world, but the other side of the U.S., coming to us from Maine, everybody, this morning, I'd glad to introduce, this is Nate Frederick. Nate, this is everybody.
Hey, everybody. I'm so blessed to be here. I can't think of a place I'd rather be right now.
Thanks. I was just in Maine a few months ago. I was in Rockport, Rockland area. And
yeah, that's just north of me.
Yeah, flat out fell in love with it. Was like, ooh, I think I'm ready to move here. And
then
you guys had winter, and I went, oh, wait, I forgot about that winter thing.
We have both our wilderness time in the winter, a time to reflect and think and pray, and in the summer, a time to party with the friends and rejoice.
Fabulous. So let me back up. A documentary about miracles. Where were you doing the documentary, and what did you see and find out, Nate?
Wow. Well, I did it mostly on the island of Kauai, Hawaii.
I love Kauai.
It's an amazing place there, and it's somewhere that really attracts a lot of spiritual seekers, and there's a lot of faith traditions represented on that island and a lot of retreats. Mm-hmm. So it was a wonderful place just to sit down for a few months and record people's stories from all different walks of life, different faiths, and talk about people who had miraculous experiences and see if there was an underlying principle or kind of how-to of how people experience that kind of transformation.
Mm-hmm. And so literally, what sort of things did you find that people referred to as miracles? Because I find that it's always fun to note out there in the books that are called The Course in Miracles, one of the things they make the comment on is that there's no hierarchy, there's no gauge of miracles. They're not larger and smaller miracles. All miracles are miracles. But I'm really wondering, in this, as you did this research, as you recorded people's stories, what sorts of stories were you hearing as you were looking for this how-to of healing prayer, as it were?
It really ranged from everything. I mean, just to things happening perfectly, something, you're wishing for something, all of a sudden it appears right in front of you, to, healing of chronic illness, to someone stopped breathing for 20 minutes and, was able to verify it with others, one lady where she had these vivid experiences with her grandfather that were all when she was 1 and 2 years old, and she was able to describe them in vivid memory, and when he passed on, and when she was just 2 years old, she had this kind of remarkable experience across the country of him passing on and realizing it, and when she was 2 years old. Her whole family kind of tells the story, kind of a beautiful, beautiful tale. But there was just many things, many experiences, from the healing of illness to just kind of remarkable things in everyday life.
So interestingly enough, you were studying in the documentary kind of a how-to of what's the mechanism and the how-to of healing, which has to make you feel sort of like you were walking in a similar pathway Mary Baker Eddy, who wrote the book Science and Health, Keys to the Scriptures, way back when, basically what she did was she found her own healing, but then she began to also study it like a science, thus it's Christian Science. How could one make this a repeatable experience? So she was also studying the how-to. What's the mechanism of how miracles work? What's the mechanism of how healing works? So there's certainly an overlap there. And I know that you didn't grow up in Christian Science, so did that overlap catch your attention? What drew you toward this particular set of, call it, techniques and practices?
Yeah, well, while I was in college studying, you know, perennial religion, which is really the underlying ethics and truth of all religious experience, you know, I came across Christian Science, and I was very drawn to it. I went to some of their Wednesday night testimony meetings. And, you know, in the Christian Science Church, there's really no ritual or kind of, you know, traditions in the sense of kind of ritualistic practices. But it's a very simple, authentic, speaking from the heart faith, and it's all about what someone experiences as they get to learn the truth of God. You know, Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free," and it's all about understanding this, you know, what Mary Baker Eddy called Christian Science, this science of God, this understanding of God, which brings freedom to us. And at those testimony meetings, you know, there was just people who were just so raw and authentic and real about their everyday experience and talking about this wonderful influence about understanding this deeper perfection to life, this underlying perfection to life. And how understanding that deeper brought them healing in everyday experiences, and I was very drawn to it. And at the time, I was working for a woman doing personal care work for her, and you know, just basically making her meals and doing laundry and getting you know, goods for her. And she had a laundry list of diseases, some things which were considered incurable. From the medical field and really exhausted the medical field and then tried a variety of alternative therapies to get better. And when I started working with her and starting studying Christian Science, I thought, wow, she could be healed through Christian Science. you know, long story short, within just several months, you know, sharing this with her, her whole life was totally changed. And she was up out of bed. She was taking dance classes, art classes, and she was healed. And when I saw that, I said, well, I want to do that for other people. I mean, there's so many people who are suffering in the world and don't know a way out, have tried everything. And, you know, if Christian Science can heal them like that and bring such joy and purpose to their lives, I want to do that again and again.
So just a little quick phrase in there, and I think this is key. Here you were, you had just bumped into Christian Science or begun a study. Mm-hmm. It's not like you were an expert. It's not like you've studied it for generations and had it handed down since childhood. So I'm getting a mental picture that you and the woman that you were doing caregiving for were effectively sort of studying this thing together, as opposed to you already having a handle on it and saying, ah, here's what you do, do this, do this, do this, and then thou shalt be healed. Were you sort of exploring and studying it together? Give me a picture of what that looked like, Nate.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, we were exploring and looking at this text, specifically Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, and that book is about those words. It's about science, about understanding our relationship to God, our relationship to others, and to life. And to health, what is really the true sense of health? And Mary Baker Eddy talks about health as, you know, the absolute consciousness of harmony and nothing else. And getting a sense of that mental harmony.
Nate, say that again. Mary Baker Eddy talks about health as the absolute
consciousness of harmony and nothing else.
Sweet.
You know, and then it's, you know, she says it's a key to the Scriptures, and that's it really illumines the spiritual meaning of the Bible and reveals to Jesus' teachings as something that can be practiced moment to moment, and that there's a deep underlying logic to them. there's really a science of them. So, you know, when we took a look at this and we're praying together and looking at life from this new perspective, you know, Jesus talks about being born again and being a new creature, you know, really seeing ourselves from a spiritual point of view instead of this materialistic, mechanistic, mechanical way of looking at life. And as one does that, they can experience these healing results.
Wow, there's like six questions rolling around in my head, and they all got stuck.
No, we could talk all day.
Yeah. It's like, wait, one thought, one mouth. Come on, brain. There's another note. I was reading some of this material, and Nate also has a webcast that you can look at that's up online, Nate Frederick. But there's a story in here. You were doing a Christian Science, but you were doing basically a Bible lesson at a jail, which is not necessarily your typical most religiously devout congregation. I mean, mm-hmm. not necessarily the greatest background. We'll put it that way. So there's a story here about a young man that you met as you were doing a Bible lesson in jail. Can you talk about that one?
Yeah, this is a really perfect example to see how Christian Science treatment works. You know, a few years ago, I was praying about how I could love more unconditionally, love more unselfishly, love without self. And as I was praying about that, one of the things I was inspired to do was go to this local jail near where I lived in Boston and just volunteer there. And I started to go there and just read the Christian Science Bible lesson, which is citations from the Bible and Science and Health with the Key to the Scriptures. And I would do that, you know, every few weeks. And my very second time there, there were two guys who showed up, and they were both young men. And at first, I was kind of bummed because I was expecting a huge crowd. You know? And I was thinking, I rearranged my whole day just for these two guys. And then I looked at it. I looked at the two of them, and they were just hungry. You know, they exhausted the material outlook on life, and it promised a lot and it delivered little, and they were stuck in this jail and bumming out and really evaluating their hearts and their lives and, you know, seeing, is there more? You know, is there something more than just this? And I started sharing the Bible lesson with them. And, you know, the Bible lesson was saying these beautiful truths that man is made in the image and likeness of God. And, you know, that man was purely good, man is the expression of God, all things like that. And this one young man started to interrupt me, and he said, "Nate, you just don't get it." You know, all those things you're saying, they're pretty words,
yep.
But they're not true for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I have bad blood. You know, my father had bad blood. You know, his father had bad blood. They did bad things, horrible things, and it's just in my DNA. It's in my blood. You know, I'm a bad person. You know, and what I said to him there was, I first gave him a healing story of how I overcame a blood issue that seemed to be a genetic issue, and I healed it through Christian Science. But even more importantly, I started to talk to him. And this is really the basis of Christian Science and Christian Science treatment. It's showing you a new perspective on life and letting you feel and experience it. And what this new perspective is defining yourself right out from God instead of defining yourself from what, you know, Christianity would say, the world. And what that means is when you think about your identity, you generally think about, well, this is how old I am. These are the experiences I've had, and those experiences reflect on who I am as a character. And you define yourself by what people have said to you, by what's happened to you physically, and, you know, and by your general environment. And I was saying to him, and here's the analogy, you're like a light beam. Now, a light beam is not defined by what someone says to it. You know, you say something, a light beam never changes. You try to whack it, that light beam doesn't change. You try to, even if you put the light beam in a box, and take it away. You open it up, the light beam's not there, can't be boxed in. But instead, what defines that light beam? Well, everything in that light beam is defined from its source, from the sun. Everything it gets, it comes from the sun, from its source. And the reason why you can't box it in, like, you know, put it in a box and study it in another room, is because that light is brand new every moment. And, you know, the Bible says in Revelation, behold, I, God, make all things new. And so, anyhow, we were exploring what it looks like to look at his life from just this purely spiritual perspective, as him being the fresh, new expression of God, of getting his entire being from God, from divine love. And so he was defined by intelligence, wisdom, peace, all the qualities of God. And anyhow, you could see light bulbs going off. And at the end of it, he took the Bible, he took science and health. He began to study those two books. And when I returned about 6 or 7 weeks later, he said, "Nate, I have this amazing testimony for you." And he said, "You know, when I came to that service, I had lung cancer." And he had thought he had told me about this, but I didn't remember if he did. And but he said, "You know, I came because I heard it was a healing service. And, you know, I had been diagnosed with lung cancer. I had to have surgery in a few weeks, and I was really, you know, tremendously scared and full of fear, and I heard it was a healing service." So he said after he went back with those books, started thinking of himself from this new perspective, he started to feel, you know, the presence of divine love of God, and he was completely healed. All the symptoms left. He felt like a new man, and when we spoke there, it was several weeks later, and there was no return of the symptoms, and as far as I know, there's been no return since.
How long was this initial conversation? So we're talking about a young guy who really pretty much has concluded that his family genetics doom him to be a waste of space.
Right.
Bad blood. It's just how it is. My father was bad. My grandfather was bad. I'm bad too. That's why I'm in jail. And that's just how it goes.
Right.
And so we're in jail talking to a guy who's really picturing himself as pretty much a waste of space. How long was that initial conversation?
Well, that was just about an hour. We spoke there, but, you know, the Bible says, you know, one day with the Lord is with 1,000 years, you know, and one can walk through life ignorant of something for as many years as they want, but as soon as they hear the truth, they can apply it and experience the results of it. It's just like math. You know, you can walk through life not knowing some math principle, but the moment you learn that principle, you can apply it and experience the harmony that comes from applying that correct principle.
So the two of you talked for about an hour. So he had a person as sort of expert guidance for about an hour. And mm-hmm. then he took the books, the Bible and Mary Baker Eddy's book, and studied on his own
mm-hmm.
and was able to pop a pretty big healing just out of studying from Mary Baker's guidebook and the Bible as mm-hmm. the support text.
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. we're looking at the how-to of healing and the how-to of healing prayer. So Mary Baker Eddy managed to lay out the concepts deeply enough that he could take a complete turn from I'm a waste of space into a place that would allow his body to release evidence of disorder.
That's absolutely right. Mm-hmm.
That pops me in. I usually wait a little later, but I want to hit here. This word prayer is really key. And so every time we're doing spiritual perspectives, one of the things I like to find out is what does that verb pray mean to you? Not what does it mean to a church, not what's the description of it. What's it mean to you when you're doing it, and how do you know when you've actually hit the mark?
That's such a good question, and we could talk about it for hours.
Yes, please.
You know, in the simplest terms, prayer is just whatever awakens us to the perfection of being. And now that whatever can come in many forms, you know, what is it that's going to awake us? You know, Jesus starts his Sermon on the Mount, which is sort of a condensed version of his primary teachings, with the Beatitudes, and those are attitudes of thought. They're really states of heart, and that is the center of Christian prayer. It's this radical honesty and deep love of God, of that's really at the center of everything, that kind of reforms the way you feel and look at life. And there's no formula to that. The prayer of it, in its most basic sense, is a desire. And again and again, Mary Baker Eddy uses that word associated with prayer. She even says prayer is desire. So at the heart of prayer is this desire to be good and to know good and to know where I come from and the truth of being. And that is really the heart of it. But Mary Baker Eddy felt that there was a science of God. In other words, understandable rules and laws and principle, a logic to the love that transforms us, that one can understand and apply. And she gives a term for kind of the specific prayer that Christian scientists use to destroy the effects of sin and disease, when she says Christian Science treatment. And she outlines some very specific ways that that treatment can come about. And she always talks about allaying the fear. I mean, that's really crucial to getting rid of someone's fearful thought, because that fear is what is sustaining dis-ease within them. And to first clear that fear away is the most important thing. And it's to replace any ignorance or lack of understanding about the principle of God with understanding, and to really instill in the patient or the learner their true self as an expression, an emanation, a manifestation of love, but not as an entity on its own, separate from God, with a personality that's certain years old, that's defined from the world. It's really about rejecting all of those concepts and taking upon this true spiritual outlook on life that Jesus exampled for us.
You had a phrase there that I want to jump back to. Destroy the effects of sin and disease was what you said. So let's play with that tricky word, because I know there's a lot of confusion around that word. I tend to view it differently than the standard traditional view that I see out and about. And I know that there are many, many people that get sort of stuck with and or stuck on that word sin. So when you're saying, Nate, when you're saying destroy the effects of sin, what does that word sin mean in that sentence?
Well, I think you're aware of this as well, but the origins of sin are from that Hebrew word, sin, which just is an archery term meaning off the mark. It means that somehow you didn't hit the bullseye. And it's just a wrong thought. And another way to think about prayer, a big portion of prayer is what I would consider right thinking. It's just thinking right, thinking on the mark. And thinking on the mark is just thinking in accord with God, thinking right out from the nature of God. And once you start to see that God is your source, the life itself is love, it is spirit, it is principle, it is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is soul, the source of all beauty and intelligence, creativity. You start to think out from God and say, okay, all that God creates is in his image and likeness. No, therefore, I am the expression of health and intelligence and vitality. And I am coming right from God. I am the eternal and brand new manifestation of God. And as one starts to think in this manner, they start to destroy the sinful ideas of man, you know, as a failing mortal for both yourself and others. And as one starts to overcome that and starts to see yourself and others in God's perspective, that's when real inner and outer healing comes.
Next word. Good morning. This is the Lexicon with Nate and Scout.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Scout, because, you know, Christian Science really has its own nomenclature, like any science. It's kind of like learning a new language. It has a whole set of specific terms that is trying to describe spiritual phenomena,
yes.
Which someone might not be accustomed to and start until they start, you know, studying about deeper into spirituality and learning how it works.
Yeah, in an interesting way, I often find that trying to describe these non-physical principles in physical words is a lot like playing baseball with a blindfold.
Well, I mean, that's how many people have felt throughout the centuries. And, you know, that for me is what drew me so much to Christian Science, because Mary Baker Eddy had a incredible affinity with words and just had a faith that, you know, this indescribable experience of God actually could be understood humanly. And she, you know, in certain cases, when you read biographies of her, she prayed days on end about a certain word to express exactly what she meant. And, you know, if you look at the vocabulary in her works, and it's just outstanding. I mean, I've heard that it's, you know, second to some of the great writers like Shakespeare and others, you know, with her, the amount of words that she uses in her writings, they're so vast because she really is constantly looking for a new, fresh, systematic, perfect way of explaining something. And so that's why people go back again and again to her writings, because she works so hard to get a specificity to the language and understanding of this science of God.
Perfect. I got so caught up in that, I had something else I was going to ask, and it's gone. So normally we actually wait till the half hour, but this is just a perfect time to break away for just a half a second, because I would like to express thanks and appreciation to the First Church of Christ Scientist in Mill Valley. They've brought our Spiritual Perspectives program this morning, as well as bringing Nate to talk with us and bringing me to talk with him. They invite you all, if you'd like to join their services, they have services on Sunday and then testimony meetings on Wednesday, but they invite you anytime that you see a Christian Science bookstore, you are invited to wander in. And I've tested this theory. It's not like I get proselytized. It's not like I get told I need to join the religion. I just get asked if there's anything they can do to help, and I can just sit and daydream if I want to. So they invite you to any Church of Christian Science or any Christian Science reading room. If these are the kinds of ideas and thoughts that have been intriguing you already, here's a whole new resource. So don't let the word church scare you off of it, because it's not your picture. They also recommend that you can visit spirituality.com or christianscience.com. So I am Scout Bartlett, your host, and let's let you know where you're listening. Hey, when you hear that theme music, you know you're listening to Spiritual Perspectives, looking at real life from, well, a spiritual perspective, originating from our flagship station, KEST 1450 AM in San Francisco. And we will have this program archived for later listening up on our website, which is ifidknownthen.com, or the top secret shortcut. You can just go to www.notscott.com. And that'll take you into ifidknownthen.com. Go up under radio, go under archives, and go under spiritual perspectives, and you'll find them. This morning, we're talking with Nate Frederick. You can actually find more about Nate up online if you Google him. And he's got, if you wander around a little bit, you'll find an edited version of a webinar that he's presented on these thoughts of healing prayer. So we're talking this morning about the how-to of healing prayer. And I'm going to jump backwards, Nate. You came out with a phrase a little earlier, which was the underlying perfection to life. Now, right at the moment, if one reads the regular press, not only are we having an amazing circus in terms of people wanting to be in charge of the United States, but there's all kinds of human beings doing very inhumane stuff to human beings all over the place. dial me back to an underlying perfection. There's a challenge for you.
Well, it's kind of like saying, you know, I look around the world and, you know, as I drive around the country here in Maine, I see tons of houses falling down. How can you say that there's a perfect principle of math?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's just saying, well, if I see something not working, how can you say that there's a perfect principle behind it? And while you say, well, once you start to apply the principles of mathematics to building, you can learn how to create a strong and perfect structure that won't fall down. And in the same way, with Christian Science, the science of divine love, one can start to understand how to apply this understanding of God or divine love to their life to build, you know, perfect lives that only bless and don't cause any harm to others, and that just push humanity forward to more intelligence and peace and wisdom and longevity and all of these things that go along with the that are the results of understanding this perfect principle of life. And you know, in Christian Science, it's really all about demonstration. And if you read the JSH Online, which is Journal, Sentinel, Herald, these are three different magazines of Christian Science, and you can see them online at JSH Online. There's tens of thousands of testimonies of people who have put this science into action, and in every different kind of human experience, broken hearts to broken bones, you know, and found healing. And so you see how this science is applicable to any experience that one could have.
Perfect, because that's exactly where I wanted to come. Well done. Are you reading my notes? It's just where I wanted to come back to. One of my favorite phrases is, I'll point out all the time that healing should not be reserved for disease. Just to wake people back up. And so that's a word that right then you mentioned, broken hearts to broken bones. And we're talking about healing and the how-to of generating and realizing or bringing real healing prayer. So healing not to be reserved for disease, broken bones to broken hearts. So it's not just the physical stuff. When you've worked as a practitioner, Nate, because that is your profession at this point, when you've worked as a practitioner, what sorts of things have you seen people, what sorts of results have you seen people experience when they set out to practice on a healing path?
Mm-hmm. Well, Scout, you know, the goal of Christian Science is certainly not just to heal disease. That's really the effect of it. But the goal is to understand God and our own divinity, and the result of that is healing in our lives. It's a deeper sense of wholeness, completeness, and you know the kind of the hallmark of Christian Science is that it's a radical non-dualistic approach. It's really saying that there's not an inner life and an outer life. You know, your outer life, that your body, your existence here and now is really an direct expression of thought. And as one really transforms thought, it has to transform experience. If it's not, then your thought really is not transformed. And so, you know, that raw, radical non-dualism there, that singular vision, you know, Jesus said, if your eye is single, your whole body be full of light. But the thing is that it's not primarily the physical healing that a Christian Scientist is interested in. It's really that deeper feeling of our belonging, our wholeness, our purpose. You know, all these deep longings that each of us have, that's really what we want to get figured out. You know, when someone says, you know, I want more money or I want more health, I mean, that's just kind of like a base desire. What they really want is a sense of wholeness and belonging and abundance and peace and a feeling of life without fear.
That's it's interesting because I look in my own history and there was a startling moment in non-spiritual circumstances when I remember it dawning on me that it was not that I studied spiritual work and also had a life. When it dawned on me that I was a spiritual student on a spiritual path, no matter where I was and no matter what I was doing. And it was funny because when I try to tell that story, it sounds so simplistic. And yet the experience of it was so deeply profound. And I never would have phrased it how you just phrased it, as a non-duality, that there's not an inner life and an outer life, or there's not a spiritual life and then a real life, but that they're both part of the same interaction.
Yeah, so, to truly feel whole, one needs to feel this unity of life, of being, you know, a connectedness, not just to yourself, but to others, to your world, to your creator, to feel that great unity of being. And materialistic approaches to life, you know, the kind of general material view on life is that one is born into this matter, that their intelligence is in this body, is in this matter, and when that piece of matter dies, then their life is gone. You know, and the Bible talks about that in Job as, you know, man born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble. But that's not the man, the identity we see when we start looking at life from a spiritual perspective. And that materialistic view on life can never really bring us satisfaction. And we start to see that there's great flaws in it once we start to look more deeply into that perspective. You know, even physical scientists, you know, you look inside of a body, which physical scientists think that we are, or most of them, and you see that at an atomic level, there's really nothing there. You know, it's 0.0, 13 zeros, 0.1, empty space, just almost all empty space, and the few things there. You know, electrons, protons, there's been experiments that they change by the way we look at them. So we see that that consciousness is really fundamental. I mean, all these things I think that are happening in the physical sciences these days seem to be pushing us more and more to a paradigm of consciousness first, a mind first way of looking at life. And that's really what Christian Science is, a radical consciousness or a divine mind first approach of looking at life.
Sweet. So let me back around, because I accidentally slipped out a word and now I want to toss it at you.
Let's do it.
We talked about this young man in jail who had a medical diagnosis of an irreversible problem in the cells of his lungs called cancer, that the only solution they had was to take that hunk of his body out. So that would be a physical reality, as it were. And most people have a tendency, because, you know, those first five senses in the list all seem to interact with the physical reality.
Right.
And yet, when you met him 6 weeks or 5 weeks or however many weeks later, his diagnosis had changed from one reality to a completely different reality. So talk to me about the word real, Nate.
when I would say real, it's something that is coming from divine source, from God. And when we feel and experience the clarity of God and God's effects, it brings about a complete sense of wholeness, of completeness, not just to one aspect of life, the physiology or the psychology of our life, you know, the mind or the body. It's to the whole experience. And of course, that is the best and the most desired form of healing, right? If there is a healing where you can transform your mind and it gives you a better purpose, a better feeling, And then your body is healed too. I mean, that would be the ultimate form of healing. And for me, that's really what Christian Science offers, and I found it very effective. And so when we talk about what is real, from a Christian Scientist viewpoint, it really starts from God, you know, just in the same way Jesus told us to do, to love God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul. And from that standpoint, it becomes natural to love others, to do good, to bless, to be moved with compassion like Jesus was, to bring health and goodness to other people's lives. So, you know, to back up to your question again, you know, what is real is what we see as God's perspective. We see from our spiritual sense, you could say. It's the testimony of spiritual sense, not the material sense of life.
When you've worked in jails, over and above the time when you hung out with just these two guys, but when you've gone into jails and other, quote, correctional, close quote, facilities, punitive facilities, what's the reception? Because you're not walking in traditional whatever, Protestant or whatever religion that they're perhaps used to, or perhaps they're not used to any, or they're perhaps used to making fun of it. What's the reception you find? Who comes and hears what you have to say, and do you see it actually build momentum over time?
Well, I have to tell you, speaking specifically in jails is really like my favorite place to speak.
Sorry for the pun, captive
really
audience.
Is because there's just no, you know, BS there. You know, people aren't kind of having their walls up and saying, you know, kind of judging, you know, what is this guy saying and, you know, what does it mean? They're just so straight with you, the way they talk with you. Mm-hmm. And they're also just very open. I mean, these are people who have had devastating experiences in their life and are in a tough situation. And they're, most of the time, if they're coming to one of these talks, they're radically open to experience another reality, because, you know, they're sick of this one. They're sick of the materialistic way of looking at life. Mm-hmm. And not a lot of people are in that same attitude sometimes when I give a general audience lecture. Mm-hmm. And these people are, for the most part, all brand new to Christian Science. Sometimes there are places I go where they've been studying it in depth, where, you know, there's been people coming over years, and they'll know it very well, actually. They'll have Science and Health and other works of Mary Baker Eddy in their libraries, and they know a lot about it. But for the most part, it's new to them. And the thing that's interesting about jails, too, is it's actually an area where the people know a lot more about the Bible than I would say the general public does. Especially the ones who come to the talks, because, you know, they have a lot of time in there to read and study, and there's a lot of Bible groups that are coming in there. And so we often talk much more about Christian theology and what's unique about Christian Science, and especially the role of Jesus and the Christ, as Christian Science has a very different view than a lot of Christian denominations. Christian Science sees Jesus as someone who's, you know, a profound spiritual teacher who embodied the Christ, the truth and love of God, mm-hmm. so perfectly and wonderfully that he was the savior for his age. I mean, people who understood his teachings and his life. We're not just saved automatically from believing him. They had to actually follow and do what he was doing, as he said. And so Christian Scientists don't think, you know, Jesus' life automatically canceled out sin for them. It's actually us practicing the teachings of Jesus diligently through our lives and reforming ourselves of sin and wrong thought and experiencing both the health for ourselves and others is what actually reforms our lives. It's his example. So we really go into depth about that in jail talks.
How do you get people that are having such an intense experience of the material world being in charge of them, to be able to still be in jail, but find themselves reconnecting to that underlying perfection of life, while their physical surroundings still don't reflect, oh my God, look, everything just got lovely.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we don't always see our full reward on this side of the grave, so to speak. but I have to say, personally, I have been deeply humbled by meeting people in jail who have just, who have had gained so much spiritually for their study of God and the way that they're applying and expressing God in their lives in those very difficult situations. And they just have kind of affectuous, just a joy that is just contagious. You know, you meet some of these people and they're just the most lovely, kind of enlightened people, I mean, just no baggage and just so peaceful. And it really has deeply humbled me to see some of these folks in the toughest of circumstances gain so much spiritually and are able to help people in that tough situation so much.
I find lots of times when I'm working with various stuff that there is such an interesting place of, I'll call it lifting up out of, stepping up out of my current physical reflection, to believe that there's more to me than what I'm seeing reflected in my surroundings, whether that's to move beyond the image that my body is giving me, where it's showing me that it's in dis-ease, whether it's to move beyond the image that my surroundings are giving me, whether it's showing me bills or job threat or whatever it may be. The whole notion of stepping up out of that, without it just being a Pollyanna-esque such, you know, like tomorrow is another day and everything's really fine. And but to really, it's that going deeper to bring myself into that state of being. And I don't think I phrased that well, but if you caught it, talk to me about that, Nate.
Well, yeah, it's so easy to get wrapped up in our surroundings and about what's going on in our daily lives and did we get this or did we not, or how did this person act to us, or, you know, when am I going to pay the next bill, and just get all these minute details of life, just get caught up in them and kind of forget about what is your purpose for existing, you know, why are you here? And forget about these big questions. And for me, that is really the beauty of a Christian life, is that we're forced to begin to see God and express the qualities of God in every moment. And we see, you know, I actually kind of use this as a litmus test for myself personally to see how I'm doing spiritually. If I see that there's meaning in each moment of my life, then I know that I'm right on. I'm doing the right thing. But when I don't see that there's meaning, I'm just kind of coasting, and I don't understand. Okay, and there's things happening to me. I don't. This is just chance, and I'm just looking at life materially, and I'm not really seeing any meaning here, and I don't know why I'm here or what I can do to help. That's when I think, oh, now I need to pray, pray more diligently. Because I really believe that there's meaning in every moment of our lives. And, you know, I love this little quote. I'll just read a little quote from Mary Baker Eddy. She said that that we can rise above the oft-repeated inquiry, what am I, to the scientific response, I am able to impart truth, health, and happiness. And this is my rock of salvation and my reason for existing. And those three words, I am able, are so important. To talk about yourself in this positive, affirmative way is that I am able to impart truth, health, and happiness. This is my rock of salvation. This is really what saves me, shows me my true individuality, my purpose. It is my reason for existing.
I'm playing with that. I'm loving that. Moving from what am I to an I am. The I am that I am is able.
Yeah, you know, a little line I love that's not in the published writing of Mary Baker Eddy, but it's in one of her letters. She simply says, I may not be getting this 100% right, but the idea is correct. It says, the son of I am is I can.
Yeah.
Isn't that good?
Yeah. What I am is I am able.
Yes.
All right. That's just because I am the, call it energy in motion, spirit in motion, fragment of God in motion, connection with God in motion, idea of God, thought of God in motion. What I am is that is the able.
Yes.
That happens to be swinging around in my particular case, arms and legs and, you know, and a body. But what I am is the able.
Yes. You are the animated truth and love of God. That's right. I mean, you are. If God is the cause, then you are the effect of God. That tangible effect. And you know, to go a little deeper into this whole conversation, what I love so much about these teachings of Christian Science is that they're not kind of a self-help, self-empowerment teaching like some of this might sound. Where it really takes you is to a place of unselfing, is to getting rid of our identity as these failing, limited mortals, born of a woman, a few of days, full of trouble, to start seeing ourselves as eternal expressions of God. But it's not really ourselves that are expressing us. It's God. And that when one finds their true identity, they find that they're actually nothing by themselves. You know, Jesus talks about that very explicitly, by myself. I am nothing, but with God, all things are possible. And, you know, to feel that one has no identity as separate from God, but is just that place where God shines through. Just like a light beam has no identity of itself, it doesn't make itself or exist for itself or create itself by what it does. It just expresses the singular source, the sun. We express that single source, God. And so much of the study of Christian Science is about getting rid of this notion of personal self and beginning to find ourselves as a transparency for God. And you find yourself being animated by God. And you know, that's one of the way Mary Baker Eddy defines Christ, is that which animated Jesus, that animating force of God. And you find yourself, the more you embody this truth, know it within oneself, yourself, that you find yourself being moved with compassion the same way that Jesus was, not by a force of one's own self, but it is really the power and love of God working through you to create more love in the world and to bring intelligence, to bring this understanding of universal harmony and peace.
There's a sense as if, I know within my work I'm watching, and there's a sense as if that we're in a wave or an acceleration or a movement forward. And because you spend your time also immersed in coming back to that which animates you and which is the I am of you, Abel. I know we've got just like a minute and a half here, Nate. Sorry about this. But as you're watching through the various people you work with and teach and study with, are you getting a sense of an acceleration or a flow or a shift or a change or even an expansion as being part of what's going on, even as we watch the geopolitical stuff stir up more deeply?
Well, I'll just say the scout. I think that in the biblical language, the tares and the wheat are growing together. As people are now becoming more spiritually aware than ever, I think people are open to spiritual healing, spiritual transformation, truth about life in metaphysical terms. But at the same time, atheism is growing more than ever. A strict and stringent view of reality as kind of a mechanistic, material way of looking at things is stronger and more prevalent than ever. So the two are growing up together, and you know, Jesus talks about that very extensively in his teachings. And in a way, he says that I have not come to bring peace, but a sword to separate the real from the unreal. And so being a spiritual practitioner today, it's more wonderful than ever because, in a sense, people are more open, more advanced to an unlimited understanding of God and identity. But at the same time, materialism is more prevalent and strong than ever. And so it's a glorious place to be, to really to be in this place where we can be forced to learn more and to understand more and to demonstrate more of the power and reality of love.
You just made that sound like that was one of the best questions I'd ever asked. Thanks. You made me look
<You're welcome>.
Great.
I'm not sure if that's true, but
that was fabulous. Thank you.
Yeah.
This is Spiritual Perspectives. I'm your host, Scout Bartlett. We're talking with Nate Frederick. You can find FREDRICK, just like you'd expect. You can find him up online and explore more of that. And or if the ideas we've been talking about resonate with things you've been wondering, here's a whole new resource for you, which is all of the various reading rooms for Christian Science churches. Again, I do want to thank the First Church of Christ Scientists in Mill Valley. If you're listening to this in a recording, you can find more of the Spiritual Perspectives programs archived on www.ifidknownthen.com. Nate, thank you so very much. This hour just flew by. What a pleasure.